Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition. It's Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll learn how to keep your vegetables fresh during the summer. I haven't quite figured it out myself, so we're going to find out together later in the program. But first, joining us on the phone now is the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shuwankuk Journal. He's here to bring us an update on what's happening in Ellenville and across Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the program. Let's start with some good news. I understand that Ellenville is set to receive some grant funding. What can you tell us about this?
Ellenville is going to get a grant for $4.5 million. It's the New York Forward grant. And it's a little interesting story. A few years ago, Governor Hochul was informed, or she discovered, that the downtown revitalization grants, which go up to $10 million, were tending to go to big places. Kingston got one the second or third time they applied, but that's the size of place that was getting them. Places like Ellenville are just too small. They just weren't getting into the mix. I'm not sure, but I think Nassau County got one. Well, Nassau County is, you know, the size of a city. I mean, it's big. So, I mean, they were getting them, and the small places were just frozen out. So she sort of set the thing off and got a committee to work on it, and they came up with the New York Forward grant, which is as maximum of $4.5 million, half the size, and that lets the smaller places in New York State compete. And part of this, and we should just note this, is that Governor Hochul speaks upstate. She knows upstate in ways that most of our governors don't, because they are Long Island and New York City. So there's a difference there. So she understood that this was necessary, put this in progress, and let's see, Ellenville applied, but they, let's see, 2 years ago they applied, but they were kind of a little late to get it together, and their application wasn't perfect. What's really needed is to have a selection of quick and buildable things that you can spend the money on. But it's not that you get the money and then just spend it like you want. You get the money, and with it comes some New York State functionaries who are going to overlook over your shoulder, make sure you do it right. They're not going to allow you just to do whatever you want. You have to do it step by step with them. The money's there, and it will be spent. But it's, you know, it's got to be a careful process. So Ellenville applied. They lost the first time, and there was gloom and doom. But they applied again, this time with more time spent on the application, a bit more skill involved. And lo and behold, they won. They got it. So $4.5 million, Mayor Trent had to put on his suit and go down, have a photo taken. You know, it was an interesting moment for them. They all went down to Yonkers, and where the awards were being handed out, and they got their money, and they got a photo with the governor. And it's interesting to see Governor Hochul next to County Executive Metzger,
right?
Because one is short, one is a tall lady. So that is kind of an interesting thing to see. But they all got that, and now Ellenville has the money to, or the basis to deal with some of those nagging questions and issues that have been gnawing away at the village for a long time. So it was very good news. And we'll see how it develops, and we'll see what the projects are that they do. And it will all be reported, of course, in the Shuwankuk Journal and probably to some extent on JFS.
Now, it's look at some lighter news. It's been, it's not a heat wave anymore, but warm weather is happening. What's going on with the Ellenville swimming pool?
Well, it was shut. The Ellenville swimming pool is another interesting story. It's quite an old pool. Must be one of the oldest big in-ground pools in the county, if not in the whole Hudson Valley. It was built in the late 40s, I heard, about the time or even before Ellenville went to being a central school district. When before that, the schools were governed in a different way, and there were still local one-room schoolhouses. Anyway, about that time, they built this pool, and the pool itself has survived and been fine throughout, pretty much. No major cracks, no subsidence, none of that. But the structures around it and the system, you know, the things that you get the water in and out and all that, they were aged out. It really needed to be redone.
Yeah.
So they went in, they got a grant for money to do that. I'm trying to think how that where it came from. It wasn't Dazney. It was I don't know why, but I think it, I have this terrible feeling it was from the agricultural side of it. I don't know. You know, the way grant money filters through is somewhat amazing. You know, but anyway, whatever. They got a good grant, and the thing is being repaired. And they had initially thought that it would be closed for this year and next year, and open again in 2028. But progress has been made. It's all been going very swiftly. And so they're looking at opening next year, 2027, a year early, which is really great news for the kids and everybody who wants to swim in Ellenville. And with that opening, they're going to expand the swimming program to have it be there for everybody, for seniors, for everybody, more time open, and just, which means, of course, they're going to need more lifeguards. But that's in the works. So it'll be more of a swimming program in Ellenville. And we'll see how that operates in terms of keeping it open when the school is open.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the- talking about lifeguards, that's also an opportunity for young folks for summer jobs. I know, you know, every year the towns and villages sometimes have a hard time finding lifeguards, or kids who have a hard time finding places that can hire lifeguards. But I know a lot of kids do that during the summer.
Right. I see it every year, starting in the early spring, the town board, because, you know, Wabosing has two pools.
Yeah.
It has the Ellenville pool, but it also has the Cohonkson pool. And that's the one that one's still functioning this year, which is good news for the kids in summer camp. But it does mean that they're always searching for lifeguards. And so if you're a good swimmer and you don't mind, you know, putting on a lot of sunscreen and sitting out, I'm watching the pool, making sure no one drowns, you know, get in there, get the lifeguard classes. Once you've got those classes, you got a job, you know.
Yeah.
They're all desperate for you. They'll wear a job. I think they spend, what, 17, 18 an hour. You know, it's not fantastic, but it's not bad for a youngster.
Yeah.
Out here, anyway. Not in the city, but out here. Anyway, yeah, so... So that's coming together very quickly, and there were fortunately no major real engineering crises involving the pool, but it will be have a new look to it, and the changing rooms and the equipment rooms and all that, it's all being replaced, and it's going to be, you know, ready for another 50 years. No, we'll look forward to that next summer. I may even go and swim myself, since I don't have a pool anymore. So, yeah. So, there's a lot of work in having a pool. It really
I'm
is.
I'm sure. Yeah, no, I know the cleaning every year, the winter maintenance over, closing up the pool and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the fear of if it gets really cold that the whole thing freezes like a block of ice, you know, and then you lose your liner and everything, you know. It's not the easiest thing. But anyway, that's long gone, and, you know, we'll see how Ellenville Pool comes in, and people will come, and it should be good. It's also a nice way for the community to come together, because everyone sort of sees everybody else in their birthday suit and swimming.
Now, moving along here, I understand that town of Worsing has approved a temporary moratorium on new battery energy storage systems, commonly known as BESS facilities. And this pause will give, I understand, the town officials time to review the potential safety, environmental, and land use impacts, and also consider permanent regulations. So, Chris, let's talk about this. What's happening, and you can explain what the moratorium means for the town and what happens next.
Now, these are slightly frightening to the population at large, because they're another new thing, and they're a full spectrum. You can have one of your own. If you just buy one big lithium-ion battery, same size as you have in a Tesla, which, you know, or even smaller, which goes on your house, it's 15 kilowatts or 20 kilowatts, and it gives you backup power in case the power goes out.
Right.
It's just an option. Instead of having a generator and having to worry about fuel and that kind of thing, you have one of these. Well, that's it. And you'll get, depending on how much power you use in your home, you'll get either a day or 2 days worth of power out of it. And then you better hope you have a generator.
Yeah.
That's another matter. And also, they will work with solar systems so that you can charge them up. So if you have a good solar system and you get one of these things, you can be pretty much free of the grid and Central Hudson.
Right.
You won't see a Central Hudson bill ever again. So there's one thought. But at the other end of the spectrum, there are very large arrays of these things, you know, and they look like metal boxes, the size you could park a car inside.
And how long is the moratorium expected to last? Did they give a sort of an end date for that?
Oh, it will be about 6 months, I think. Mm. And it's just to prevent applications so that they can get their heads around what the hell they're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is a new thing. And unfortunately, they come in, the BESS is coming in freighted with fear of data centers. Now, they're not data centers and not going to have data centers in the Hudson Valley, but you know, there is that fear that, you know, you're going to get this enormous thing that's going to consume all the water and be a danger. That's not the case. What you are going to get at the upper end is what's going could go in at Coleman, former Coleman High School up in Hurley. Well, no, it's actually over the line. It's in town of Ulster, I believe. And it's a 250 megawatt BESS, which is the other end of the spectrum from the one that you might have at your home. So the people in Hurley have been kind of like freaking out, you know, panicking, you know, a little bit. 250 megawatts, that's pretty hefty.
Yeah.
And the issue with it always is with lithium batteries is fire, you know, and they can burst into flame. Teslas have been known to burn and so on and so on. And two things are happening that are interesting there. One, the pure lithium ion battery is being replaced by lithium phosphate batteries. And there's some rivals to that, which are like sodium ion batteries and
right.
other styles of battery that will give similar concentrations of power, which is why you use lithium in the first place, similar concentrations, but will have much less of an ability to burst into flame. And the problem with a battery and a fire like that is it's very hard to put out.
Yeah, I've seen videos of lithium battery fires, and they're intense. They're like like blue flames coming out, which is such an intense heat, and it's not like a billowing like fire. It's like a shooting, like almost like a blowtorch almost coming out of these things.
That can be, and that's one concern, and that's why the technology is changing even as we speak. So people who've got that one down, well, now get ready because there's going to be sodium ion batteries are coming, you know, which will be a little less likely to burst into flame. And it's hard. And fire departments are taking notice as well, and they're all having trainings on how to put out a burning Tesla. And it involves, rather than spraying it with foam or with, you know, water or anything, they use a big blanket. Get this special blanket that you put over it, wrap it tight, and you smother it. So it's a special training to deal with that because the thing is so hot, but they're learning how to do it. And you know, again, this is our volunteer firemen. Let's hear about them. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I should mention, this Saturday in Ellenville, there will be the countywide fire department parade. Same day as the Borscht Belt Festival, but the Fire County Parade, which means, you know, lots and lots of fire engines polished to an incredible degree, will roll through Ellenville. That's another story.
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, yeah, so the issue there is you got to put a blanket on it. But if you get a fire in a 250 megawatt array, which is going to be a whole field full of these big blocky things, that's a little scary. So the people just over the line in Hurley have been kind of anxious about that and demonstrating against it. And we don't know quite where that's going to come down, but you know, at least there's not any more war things.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
World War Thing, the town has received a number of applications for BESSs of considerable size, and therefore wants to know what they are and how to deal with it. And so there's going to be a moratorium. The town attorney, Bill Collier, is working up the resolution language up. I imagine we will see that at the next board meeting, which will be the first one of August. And then they'll pass that, and there'll be a moratorium on applications for about 6 months while the town board learns what they're dealing with this, because it is a new thing. And whether it's going to be a danger to water supplies, whether it's going to be a danger to houses and homes, all that kind of stuff, they will need to understand. That's where that's at, and the moratorium will be coming soon. And watch the Sean Gum Journal in the next couple of weeks, because I've done a long piece, longish, about these things, trying to explain the business of them and what they do and the dangers.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for that story. That was Siouan Kruk Journal reporter Chris Rowley. And we'll continue following this story and bring you the latest developments alongside Chris as the town of Wawarsing considers its next steps. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, we'll find out how to keep your produce fresher during the summer. It's Friday on the Local Edition, and I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Don't go anywhere.
Discipline her body, 'cause she knows that it's demanding to defeat those evil machines. I know she can beat them. Oh, Yoshime, they don't believe me, but you.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
So far, the government has said that about 6.5 million children have had Trump accounts opened in their name, which is a lot of kids, but it's less than 10% of eligible kids. And the data that is out there from a variety of sources does suggest that the poorest families have not done so.
I'm Zolan Kano Youngs. That's today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Next time on The New Yorker Radio Hour, a Democrat and a Republican in Congress on how the immigration crackdown is changing America.
They're going to see vast swaths of our workforce disappear. They're going to see our economy contract.
Mr. President, you got to change the way when it comes to immigration. Otherwise, we're not going to have a Republican Party.
That's next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Summer farmers' markets are overflowing with fresh vegetables and herbs. But keeping that produce fresh once you bring it home can be a challenge. Believe me, my house is so hot and I come home and everything's whittled. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar visited Good Find Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania to learn which crops are coming into season and to get some practical advice for keeping leafy greens, herbs, and cucumbers fresh for longer.
Tell me a little bit about some of the greens that you have.
Okay, right now, it's not really green season. So the green season, I'd say, is like spring and fall. But there are still some greens on the farm. We have Swiss chard. We're about to start having like our sprouting broccolis. We definitely have lettuce. And we kind of just finished out our like cooler weather greens. So like spinach, people can grow arugula year, but I find it really difficult. So we're kind of phasing that out till the fall. And I guess like Swiss chard, beets, greens. We have, I feel like we're shifting more into like the summer crops. And then we also always have carrots. So carrots and more of the cucumbers. And oh, but what else is really good along with the greens is the fresh herbs. So like the cilantro, dill, parsley, mint, all of those fresh herbs is really coming in right now too.
I'm happy that you mentioned the herbs because, so my partner and I, we recently did a fridge clean out earlier, actually a couple of days ago, and we've just been thinking and scheming and plotting on like how best to to store our, like, our fresh herbs and our fresh produce. We're so blessed with so many incredible farmers markets and farms in the region, which I think is so unique to our area. And I'm curious, for you as someone who grows the food and then also probably eats a lot of what you grow, what tips do you have for people who want to just be better about making their farm fresh produce last a little bit longer?
Okay, well, first off, I'll say, like, you're getting farm fresh produce from the farmer's market, and it's the heat of the summer, and, like, the farmers are harvesting all their vegetables, and get out to the farmer's markets early, because that sun and the wind is, like, the worst enemy of the produce. So, and for the vegetable farmers, going out to the markets and, like, standing around in the sun and the wind and, like, having your vegetables wilt is, like, so sad. So get out to the farmer's markets early and get those greens while they're still fresh. You can bring them back from a wilty stage, but it takes some time, and you gotta, like, be careful with it. So if you do end up with some wilty greens, say, or like a wilty bunch of parsley, you can just get some really cold ice water or really cold water and dunk it in there and let it sit for like 20 minutes. You don't want to sit too long, but like, yeah, let it sit 20 minutes or so and let it perk back up. And then I'll usually like shake out all that water. You don't want water sitting in like a head of lettuce or something like that. You want to like shake out that extra excess water. And then the vegetables really want to be stored, especially those leafy greens and those fresh herbs. They want like 38 degrees and with a 90% relative humidity. So when you put your vegetables in the refrigerator, you're like the humidity of a refrigerator is like 50% or something when it's operating well. So, and it's constantly wicking moisture because a fan is blowing cold air through your refrigerator. So it's constantly wicking moisture away. So you have those crisper drawers on the bottom. That's a really great place because the relative humidity in those drawers is a little bit higher. And then another thing I recommend is to, like, you can use a damp paper towel or a damp cloth or a kitchen towel and wrap your produce in there. And then you want to bring it down to temperature pretty quickly. Another way is you can use airtight containers. So if you've dried your stuff pretty well, like you're washed, it's still looking perky, and you've kind of like shaken it out or spun it, or you can put it in an airtight container and then put it in your fridge. And that kind of keeps the humidity in there too. So you're just constantly battling with this, like, low relative humidity. It's constantly waking moisture out of your vegetables. So you go in your fridge, you're like, it looked good, and now it's wilty. Well, the humidity's not high enough, so just do what you can to protect it. So either, like, wrap it in a damp cloth, like I said. Your crisper, airtight containers is really good. But you don't also want your stuff going in too soggy, like too wet. And especially if it's hot and wet, and then you put it in your fridge, then it's like kind of
for a disaster.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Something that I wondered sometimes, because I'll often do the wrapping in the kitchen towel or with like a damp paper towel method, but sometimes I'll put it in the airtight container, and I'm like, should I have also wrapped it, or is the airtight container enough as long as it's dry?
That is a good question. I think you could probably wrap it and it's fine. I'm not sure. I think the airtight container might be fine though. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. I do say when we store our vegetables in the fridge, we're only storing them for a couple of days. But in our big walk-in cooler, we will throw a damp sheet over all our stuff because that is just the nature of the refrigerator. It's constantly wicking moisture away.
Yeah. In terms of how long, you know, these produce can last, or how long people can expect for these to be okay in the fridge, what does that look like?
I'd say most things, especially if you get it at a farmer's market, like, you're guaranteed a week, as long as it's not already wilted and stuff, and you can bring things back. But I'd say you're guaranteed a week. It could be more. You could have things in your fridge for a month, and it might be okay, as long as it was, like, properly stored. And because when you're buying from the farmer's market, that stuff has been harvested most likely within that week or the day before or 2 days before. So you could expect, I'd say, week guaranteed. And then if you're lucky, you could get like a month out of it if you've stored it well and you're lucky.
Do you have a moment just to show me? We don't have to go through the whole farm, but just some, you know, crops that you're excited about for the season.
Yeah, well, like I said, with our cucumbers, we're right by our cucumber tunnel right now. And Brandon and Maggie are working. We're about to plant some ginger, which are a little late, but this is our high tunnel cucumbers. So we have them on the high line, like a top trellis, and we trellis them up all year, and they're very productive and very delicious. And it's one of our very popular crops, or people know us for our cucumbers because we really love them too.
And then what time of the summer do you harvest those?
They're just starting to come in now. So, I mean, they'll take about, I don't know, like the 40 days to be ready to harvest. So we planted those in mid-May. And, well, I guess it's like 30 days. Yeah, so they're like just coming in.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we could harvest, if we can keep the plants alive, we can harvest till the frost. And so that's always a challenge, is to keep them alive that long.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
The cucumber salad that we were talking about just a few minutes ago makes me think about a summer salad. And we were talking about making sure, you know, keeping your greens happy and healthy. When like a summer salad is sitting out in the sun for a couple hours, if someone's having like a picnic or mm-hmm. an outdoor gathering, is there anything that people can do to kind of make sure it stays fresh?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess like always like bring an ice box, and like as you're going out, maybe just pull it out before you eat. Don't just leave it on the table. Or if you do, like sometimes it's nice for the dressings and stuff to sit. And with the cucumbers too, like with if you're doing a cucumber salad, then you like have it nicely salted. And it is sometimes nice to have a little wilt and like have all the flavors meld. But yeah, keep it cool till you serve it, and then try to eat it pretty quickly.
Tip to our listeners, be patient and be hungry when people come so you can eat it quickly. Okay, cool. Anything else?
Well, yeah. Well, I'll mention about the cucumbers too with the storage is people sometimes like, oh, I put my cucumbers in the refrigerator and I put them in the crisper and then they get all slimy and I don't understand why they're all slimy. It's because cucumbers, actually the fridge is kind of cold for them. So it's really hard to store cucumbers like well. And that's one of the ones that maybe you'd want to try the airtight container for your cucumbers, because ideally your cucumber temperature is around 50, 55. And so when you put it in your fridge, it's like 38, and it kind of like increases its ability to like start to break down and rot. So that's one of the ones is it kind of difficult, because 50 in your house is not an easy thing to achieve. So you can still put it in your fridge, but maybe try it with the airtight container.
I am a victim of the slimy cucumber, so I will
really
definitely
hard.
Be using that.
Yeah. Here we have another tunnel. It has cherry tomatoes and our sweet peppers in there. We're really excited about those. Tomatoes for us, because we don't use any heat or anything like that, is... And we get them around late July for our first stuff. So it's a little while till tomatoes and eggplant and all those like heat loving vegetables are going to come on. But that's tomatoes and sweet peppers. And then out here is what we call the garden. It's like a smaller 75 foot long beds. And we grow more like salad greens and our more summer crops out here. So more tomatoes, hot peppers, ground cherries, eggplant. And then further out, we have our sweet peas, sugar snap peas, and like lettuces and beets.
Oh, I love snap peas.
Oh,
those
yeah,
are my
so
favorite.
Good.
I get so excited when I see those at the farmer's market.
It's a very short season,
so you
got to get them while they're here.
Exactly. Do you want to let folks know how they can find you?
Yeah. So we're Good Find Farm. We're in Damascus, Pennsylvania, like 4 miles down Calicoon Road once you cross over the Calicoon Bridge. Or if you're coming from 191, like another, I think, 3 miles down the road, and on Old Road, and we have a on the farm store, so you can come see the farm on Saturdays, 10 to 2. And then you can also find Theron down at the Roscoe Farmers Market on Sunday from 10 to 2. And then I'm in New York City at Tucker Square Green Market on Saturdays from 8 to 4.
Thank you so much to Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar for that report. The story originally aired on Farm and Country, which you can hear every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. right here on Radio Catskill. And that does it for the local edition. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. We have a busy weekend ahead, and Radio Catskill will be out there in the community. This Sunday, you can find us at Riverfest in Narrowsburg and also at the Borscht Belt Festival in Ellenville. Stop by and say hello. Take care of yourself. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, take care of yourself. Great weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Narrowsburg Veterinary,
offering a comprehensive range of pet health care services, including exams, ultrasound, surgery, dentistries, and beyond. Care for cats, dogs, exotics, avian, and pocket pets available Mondays through Saturdays, narrowsburgvet.com. From the Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new film releases, live music, and more. Information and schedule at thecalicoontheater.com.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.